We have taken different paths to come to this place. Yet Christ calls us here for this time. Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Hum log jo mukhtalif kalisiyon aur shahron se talluq rakhte hain, باوجود اپنی مختلف مجبوریوں سے اس جگہ پر اکٹھے ہوئے ہیں اور یہ سب خداوند مسیح کی مرضی اس میں شامل ہے. روح القدس کی برکت اس پر نازل ہے. روح القدس کی برکت اس پر نازل ہے.
우리는 서로 다른 공동체와 교회로부터 왔습니다. 우리는 서로 다른 장애물들을 지나왔습니다. 우리는 서로 다른 길들을 지나서 여기에 함께 모였습니다. 그리스도께서는 지금 우리를 이곳에 부르십니다. 오소서 성령님이시여.
아멘. Nous sommes venus de différentes communautés et congrégations. Nous avons cassé des différentes barrières. Nous avons pris des différents chemins pour venir en ce lieu. Cependant, le Christ nous appelle ici pour ce temps. Viens, Esprit Saint.
Viens, Esprit Saint.
Tunatoka majamii na maungano achana. Tulivunja mipaka achana. Tulibeba manjia achana kwa kufika fasi iyo. Na Kristu anatuita hapa kwa wakati iyo. Kuja Roho Mtakatifu.
Kuja Roho Mtakatifu.
Tayo'y mula sa iba't ibang bayan at kapulungan. Nalutas na natin ang mga balakid at hadlang. Iba't ibang daan ang naghatid sa atin dito. Ngayon, tinatawag tayo ni Kristo. Halina, banal na Espiritu.
Halina, banal na Espiritu.
Nangal pala sabagalilum, pala samudayakalum irundu, pala thadagalai udaitu, kadandu, pala valigalai eduttu, indadathil vandirukrom. Yesu, inda nerathil nangal yavarayum alaikkirar, parisutha aaviye varum.
Nosotros hemos llegado de diferentes comunidades y congregaciones. Hemos tumbado diferentes barreras. Hemos tomado diferentes senderos para llegar a este lugar. Sin embargo, Cristo nos llama aquí en este momento. Ven, Espíritu Santo.
Ven, Espíritu Santo.
As on the day of Pentecost, Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us. It is your Holy Spirit that gathers us and welcomes us as the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. Let us pray. God of life and truth, you lead your holy apostles to appoint ministers in every place. Guide your church through the wisdom of your Holy Spirit, that we may choose men and women with gifts of grace for the varied ministries of service, word, sacrament, and order. May we uphold them in their work, and may your reign be extended through Jesus Christ, the shepherd of our souls, who with you and the Holy Spirit is worshipped and glorified, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, we present to you these persons who have completed the course of study. John C. Brockshank, Pamela S. Dietz, Robert L. Dvorak, Glenn C. Hansen, Michael D. Stevens.
Dear friends, These persons have completed the requirements for a license as a local pastor through the course of study. We have inquired diligently concerning them and have found them to be fit for this sacred vocation. Do you believe you are moved by the Holy Spirit to continue to serve as a local pastor?
I do.
Will you strive to live a life in keeping with what you preach?
I will.
We recognize and celebrate with you as you serve as a local pastor in the congregation to which you are appointed. Take care that you perform these duties faithfully, as much as you are able, the Lord being your helper. And now receive this symbol and mantle of God's call on your life. Let us pray. Almighty God, may the grace of ministry rest upon these your servants, and may the opportunity to serve lead them into the fullness of your calling. Clothe them with your righteousness, and grant that they may glorify you by giving themselves to others. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Conference, I present to you your local pastors. Let us give thanks to God.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, we present to you these persons to be recognized as associate members of the Iowa Annual Conference. Mary L. Poor Howell, Evelyn D. Lewiston, Vicki L. Steffens, Daniel R. Wiebesack.
Do you believe you are moved by the Holy Spirit to continue to serve as an associate member? Will you strive to live a life in keeping with what you preach? We celebrate with you as you are recognized as an associate member of the Iowa Annual Conference as a local pastor in the congregation to which you are appointed. Take care that you perform these duties faithfully, as much as you are able, the Lord being your helper. And now receive this symbol and mantle of God's call on your life. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose word is truth, in keeping of which is eternal life, we thank you for these persons whom we set aside in your name as a local pastor. Prepare them in body, mind, and spirit for their tasks, and continue them in your grace, that they may increase and bless your church through their labors. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Conference, I present to you your associate members. Let us give thanks to God for them.
Reading from Matthew's Gospel, the 16th chapter. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their lives will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world and yet forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life?"
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you, Bishop Lass, for the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray. Gracious God, for the gift of this precious moment and these precious moments, we pause to say thank you. We thank you for the gift of ministry that has been given in our baptism. We thank you for this unique and unrepeatable moment of worship. And Lord, now we pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts would be acceptable in thy sight, thou who hast been our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Dr. Fred Craddock, at a school for ministry many years ago that I attended, was asked this question. The question was, should sermons be preached more than once? His response was, yes, it is appropriate to preach a sermon more than one time. The problem is that some sermons should have never been preached the first time. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that on this holy occasion, as you remember being acknowledged for your ministry, that this would not be one of those sermons that people will leave saying it should have never been preached the first time. More importantly, there are some prayers that should be prayed over and over again. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, should be prayed over and over again. The annual conference is in part an act of remembering from which we came. It is a holy reminder that there were conferences before this one. We repeat annually Christian conferencing, believing that the power behind us, the power before us, the power beside us is greater than the task that is before us. Biblically, we could say, Bishop, you are referring to the Holy Spirit and our Pentecost roots in Acts the 1st and 2nd chapter. Yes, I am. But also, for us United Methodists, our Wesleyan roots. For John Wesley was pessimistic about the power and entanglement of sin, but optimistic because of our unlimited possibilities in response to God's grace. The entanglement of sin has toxic results in societies today, where greed begets worker abuse, investor abuse, protracted armed conflict, and neglect of the common good. Institutions and individuals in every age are weakened by the pull of sin and compromised by inner voices and repeated messages that tell us that the only one who is important is you and those you know and love. Yet, there is a greater need for us to recapture Wesley's optimism and passion rooted in God's grace. God's grace is sufficient. As Mother Agatha Simmons used to say in my first full-time appointment, Bishop Rader, she would say, we can't do God's work without God's power. And we can't love God's people without God's love. In fact, she said it was God's power and God's love all stirred up together that made God's grace. And God's grace is sufficient. If there's nothing else that you recall from this sermon, I want you to remember that God's grace is sufficient. Romans 5:20, the strength of sin is overcome by the power of God's love, mercy, and forgiveness. Charles Wesley captured the power of God's redemptive grace in the great hymn, O for a thousand tongues to sing, my great Redeemer's praise. The glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. God's grace is sufficient. God comes before us and remains with us, that the work of salvation may become a reality, and that transformed lives in Jesus Christ may avail themselves for the work of transforming the world. God comes to us first. God comes to us first. This is the significance of prevenient grace. Before a bishop ever lays his hands on you or ever reads words to you, God has already laid his hands on your head and your heart. God has already laid God's love on your spirit. Matthew 16:24-26 speaks of the cost and promise of discipleship. Matthew omits the crowds that are introduced in the Gospel of Mark, making this passage, Matthew 16:24-26, clearly focused on the disciples and the meaning of discipleship for those who are already in the community. So you want to give your life to this movement. So you really want to give your life to this movement. These words are not an invitation to those who are considering Christian discipleship or outsiders. These words are for those who've already said, "Yes, Jesus, I want to follow you." The most accurate translation may be, "If anyone would come after me." Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, you won't be able to play it safe. The one who tries to play it safe loses their life. When this was probably recorded, some of the worst days of persecution were taking place. Today in Iowa, it is not the case, it is not a case of martyrdom that is associated with the cost and promise of discipleship, but meaningful servant leadership that invites us to take God's love serious. Serious enough to step beyond the shallow waters of church as we know it. Serious enough to trust God for God's part and to trust ourselves for our part. Serious enough to listen to Jesus say to us, our personal happiness is not the dominant principle at play here. So I want to preach just for a few moments from the subject, one step beyond caution. Give Jesus your whole life. That is what Jesus is saying to those who would be Jesus' disciples. Give Jesus your whole life. Bishop, are you suggesting that I should neglect my family? No way. Bishop, are you suggesting that I should ignore laughter and tears, joys and fears, real life in real time? Not at all. Do away with aspirations to own nice things and to travel to faraway places? No, I'm not suggesting that. But Jesus says plainly, give your whole life and follow me. Your living and your leadership, your efforts and your excellence, your sacrifice and your sweat, your devotion and your disappointments. Give your whole life to Christ. I like to go to movies, and my district superintendents know that from time to time I like to go see a good movie. Doesn't always have to have a great redeeming value. Sometimes it's just pure entertainment. My latest favorite movie is Star Trek. I didn't think that was going to get applause, but if you want my top 10, see me after service. But I'm not what, I haven't been one who's followed all of the Star Trek movies, and I'm not what they call, what is a Trekkie. But we went to see this movie, and we left saying that was great entertainment. Even had you not followed all the other movies, you could go see this one and know the whole story. There's several great lines in there, but there's a great scene when Leonard Nimoy, the original Spock, is speaking to himself, the young Spock. and says this, when you eliminate the impossible, what remains may just be the truth. John 1:17 says the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. I do not believe, friends, that we have exhausted the truth this day and hour. Jesus shows us how God's love can be shared in a way that transforms lives. Jesus says, if you are willing to follow me, our lives must be traded in for a life willing to take at least one step beyond caution. When St. Augustine gave communion in North Africa in the 5th century, he would say, receive what you are. Receive what you are. Not what you may become, what you already are. And I say to all of you, receive what you are. You already are the hands of Christ. You already have had hands laid upon you and prayed over you. You were hands laid upon you and prayed over you in co-laborers of the gospel. But you are already the body of Christ at work in the world. Receive what you are. Not what you may become, but what you already are. Receive what you are and then take one step beyond caution. Caution limits difficult questions. Caution avoids all conflict. Caution preaches only favorite texts and avoids the hard work of lectionary study. Caution encourages you to engage in acts of mercy while avoiding calls for justice. Caution keeps you from risking the vulnerability that comes with building true friendships and having real accountability with colleagues and laypersons that God will privilege you to love. Caution will keep you from doing some dumb things that you should not do. And maybe from doing some things that you should do. Somebody has to say that it's not right to ignore the world outside our doors. Somebody has to say it's not right for children to be hungry in Uganda or neglected in Iowa. Somebody has to say that it's not right for malaria to cause thousands of preventable deaths in Sierra Leone and many other places in Africa, or for homes to go boarded up indefinitely in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Caution may corral you into places of invisibility when God wants you to help others let their light shine. I'm not suggesting that we should make foolish decisions or live life in a cavalier way, but I'm suggesting that God is calling us to take at least one step beyond caution. You know they cautioned Jesus all the time. They cautioned Jesus that the crowd was too big and too hungry, and he said, you feed them. They cautioned Jesus that he should watch the company he keeps, and then he goes home with tax collectors, and he sits at a well with a Samaritan woman, and he lays hands on lepers. He said, you just watch me. They cautioned Jesus and said there were too many appointments to be made and too much legislation to be debated. There was no time for an African children's choir to show up. And Jesus said, let the children come and let them sing. There is danger in being too cautious. There is danger in being too cautious because we don't want to fail. We don't want to being misunderstood, or we don't want to risk being labeled. So the gift of our best selves sometimes is withheld. Friends, I'm saying to you, lay and clergy, Methodists and friends, those who have gathered to celebrate with many who are on the stage here tonight, you are not called to save the world or even to save the church, but we are called to let our light shine. My Lutheran neighbors, Bishop Lass in Norwalk, Iowa. My wife always reminds us that we pass by the Lutheran church not far from my house about the wonderful church signs they have. And they've got one out now that I incorporated into this sermon. And it says, God does not call the qualified. God qualifies the call. Preacher, you can use that. You ought to make note of that one. God does not call the qualified. God qualifies the call. Amen? I thought it was pretty good what I read. I don't know how you feel about it. Howard Thurman wrote these words. There is in every one of us something that waits and listens for the sound of the genuine in ourselves and is the only true guide you will ever have. It is the only true guide you will ever have. And if you cannot hear it, you will all of your life spend your days on the end of strings that somebody else pulls. Don't ask God for more faith. Get to know God better. And because God is faithful, the better you know God, the more you will trust God. And the more you trust God, the more God will give you strength to do what God has called you to do. Let me close this message on One Step Beyond Caution with a scene from the Old Testament. Let's be transported back to the Old Testament. A familiar scene in Exodus, the 3rd chapter. God has already claimed and called Moses to go tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of Egypt. And Moses enters to a conversation with God. Moses questions his own authority and his lack of credentials. Now, I'm using a little bit of my spiritual imagination, but if you go back and read Exodus 3:10 through 14, I believe it's true to the text. Moses says to God, I know you will be with me. But God, there are some questions that will surely be asked. For example, the Israelites will ask, who has sent me, and what is this God of our ancestors' name? Am I right about it? That's the text. Who has sent me? And God responds, I am that I am. Tell them that I am has sent you. Reverend James Moore writes that this familiar scene may be more accurately translated to say, not that God's name is I am, but I shall be there. When the voice of fear is speaking louder than faith, God says, my name is I shall be there. When the question looms larger than easy answers, God's name says, I shall be there. When the medical test comes back and reveals unwanted news, God says, my name is, I shall be there. When it's time to move and friends seem distant and the connection seems to be lacking some concern, God says, I shall be there. When people want to label you one way or the other, when people want to limit you, when people want to lessen the importance of the day the Lord has made, God says, my name is, I shall be there. When you stand in the gap for the sick and for the oppressed, when you lift a word of hope for God's people while you need a word of encouragement, God comes and speaks directly to your heart and says, my name is, I shall be there. Friends, I want to share with you, risk more than others think is safe. Care more than others think is wise. Dream more than others think is practical. Expect more than others think is possible. And remember that God's name is I shall be there. You remember the story of the Sunday school class that was going around saying all the names of Jesus, and this was an advanced Sunday school class of children, and some were saying God's name is El Shaddai, and some were saying God's name is Jehovah Jireh, and some were saying God's name is Almighty Lord. And one little boy said, I know God's real name. God's real name is Lo. The teacher said, Lo? God's name is not Lo. He said, yes, don't you remember what Jesus said? Go and make disciples, and Lo, I will be with you always. God's name is I shall be there. And God calls us in this moment in history to take one step beyond caution. In the name of God, who loves us beyond measure. Amen.
During this annual conference, Bishop Trimble has challenged the congregations of Iowa and their members and leaders to become fit through the Fit Challenge. It is a challenge for us to work together faithfully with alignment and full engagement as we make disciples for the transformation of the world. It involves focusing on rebuilding and restoring by committing to the work of long-term recovery in areas that were devastated by storms last year. By investing in new ministries, new churches, new ways of collaboration and innovation, ministries that are reaching new people, offering radical hospitality and strategic witness, and telling the stories of Jesus and his transformational love, extending radical hospitality and receiving God's grace requires a commitment to both scriptural and social holiness. Today's offering is to go for the work of congregational development, new ministry development, leadership development, strategic planning, strategic witness in every place in Iowa, so that there is no place which is not touched by the love of Jesus through the United Methodist Church. Give generously as God calls us all to give.
It is my privilege to introduce to you two very special guests that are participating in our ordination service today. The first is Bishop Sharon Zimmerman Rader, who for 12 years was the Episcopal leader of the Wisconsin Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church. Since retirement, she has been the bishop in residence at Garrett Evangelical Theological Seminary. And today her husband is here as well, the Reverend Dr. Blaine Rader participating in this service. We're glad to have you here. She's always afraid I'll tell more. And our other special guest is Bishop Michael Last. He is the Bishop of the Western Iowa Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Bishop Last was elected to a second term in 2007, and he was ordained in 1972. He has served many congregations in Iowa before becoming to the episcopacy. He has served in Cedar Rapids, Spencer, Clinton, Sioux City, and also as an assistant to the bishop in the Western Iowa Synod of the ELCA Church. Bishop's last wife is Colleen, who is an ESL teacher in the Storm Lake Middle School. Bishop Last has been invited to participate in this service because ecumenism is important to United Methodists and to the ELCA Church. And how privileged we are to have him with us today, representing that great spirit among us. And so, welcome, Bishop.
Bishop Trimble, ordinands, members of the annual conference, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know as well as I do, because you have been there, done that, that in the lives of our two churches, there is on the table a full communion agreement, an agreement which United Methodists across the nation have approved. And because we have our assemblies every 2 years, we'll be before our assembly in June of this year in Minneapolis. It perhaps is a bit presumptuous for me to speak and say that I sense that it will be warmly received and approved, and so I do.
Amen.
My synod is a microcosm of full communion agreements. In the ELCA, we have full communion agreements with the Reformed Church in America, the Moravian Church, Presbyterians USA, the United Church of Christ, and the Episcopal Church. And soon we hope to be able to list as our full communion brothers and sisters the United Methodist Church.
Amen.
Our sense is that while a significant benefit in the toolbox of a bishop is to provide pastoral leadership for congregations, and that's not always easy to do, and how wonderful it is now to be able to have some sense of reciprocity, that clergy from other denominations in full communion can share in each other's churches. And for that, I am grateful. Why? Because in my own denomination, we have had two United Methodist pastors serving in ELCA congregations. We have seven of our ELCA pastors serving in Presbyterian congregations. We have three of our ELCA pastors serving in Episcopal congregations. We have two of our ELCA pastors serving in United Church of Christ congregations. And we have one Reformed Church in America pastor serving in one of our larger congregations in northern Iowa. Do you get the picture? And so as we come together around the gospel as members of the body of Christ, we look for ways that we can enhance each other's ministries. The days of independence and autonomy are over. And the battle against the church is very real. There are fewer clergy than in the past, and there are congregations that hunger for pastoral leadership. And in order to provide that kind of leadership, we need to work together.
Amen.
Bishop Trimble said it so well, we need to step out. We need to risk. And it's time. It's time, my brothers and sisters, to recognize each other's gifts in ministry. But you know that's not the only reason. There is another pressing reason, and it is the cause of justice. It is the cause of marginalization, not only in our state, but across the country. And we need to learn to walk together and just think of the voice of adding perhaps 400 plus thousand ELCA Lutherans, with the myriads more of United Methodists, again with our full communion brothers and sisters, to be able to speak to society, to be able to speak to the power sources in our world, and to be able to address Matthew 25 and live it and enflesh it, and the power that those united voices will have. Again, we need to risk, we need to step out. And we can only do that most powerfully and most effectively, and I believe most faithfully, as we do it in Christ's name together. I want you to know that my being here today as an ecumenical guest is, and will be remembered by me, as one of the highest honors, one of the highest honors in my service in 12 years of being bishop. I will remember this day for the rest of my life.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you.
My God, my Savior. Bishop Trimble, on behalf of the laity of the local congregations who have examined and approved these candidates,
and on behalf of the deacons and elders of the annual conference who have also examined and approved these candidates, we present to you these persons to be ordained deacons and to be ordained elders in Christ's Holy Church.
Anna S. Antunes, Nancy M. Bender,
Ryan E. Christensen, Jeffrey L. Flagg,
Craig C. Ferguson,
Catherine
Corey Flanagan,
Cindy C. Hickman, Corby J. Johnson,
Andrea M. Crawshaw,
Jason P. Larson,
Okitakoi Vondula, recommended by the Central Congo Annual Conference,
Sean C. McRoberts,
Emmanuel T. Nawiji, recommended by the South Katanga Annual Conference,
John E. Robb,
Carol H. Sundberg,
Andrea Poland Severson,
Lee A. Schott,
Deborah Lynn C. Wise.
These persons are by God's grace to be ordained to the ministry of Christ's Holy Church. Those authorized by the Church to inquire about them have discerned that they are persons of sound learning and of Christian character, and possess the necessary signs of God's grace, and have demonstrated a profound commitment to serve Jesus Christ. Therefore, we believe them to be duly called to serve God. We ask you, people of God, to declare your assent to the ordination of these persons. Do you trust that they are worthy, by God's grace, to be ordained?
We do. Thanks be to God.
Will you uphold them in their ministry? Ordination is a gift from God to the Church and is exercised in covenant with the whole Church and within the covenant of fellowship of associates and the order of deacons and elders. My sisters and brothers in Christ, you have been called to an ordained ministry. The Church now confirms your calling through ordination. As ordained ministers, you are to be co-workers with the laity, bishops, deacons, diaconal ministers, commissioned ministers, and elders. Remember that you are called to serve rather than to be served, to proclaim the faith of the Church and no other, to look after the concerns of God above all, so that we may know that you believe yourselves to be called by God, and that you profess the Christian faith. We ask you, do you believe that God has called you to the life and work of ordained ministry? Do you believe in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Are you persuaded that the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments contain all things necessary for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ and are the unique and authoritative standard for the Church's faith and life? Will you be faithful in prayer, in the reading and study of the Holy Scriptures, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, continually rekindle the gift of God that is in you? Will you do your best to pattern your life in accordance with the teachings of Christ? Will you, in the exercise of your ministry, lead the people of God in faith in Jesus Christ to participate in the life and work of the community and to seek peace, justice, and freedom for all people? Will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church, accepting its order, liturgy, doctrine, and discipline, defending it against all doctrines contrary to God's holy word, and committing yourself to be accountable with those serving with you, and to the bishop and those who are appointed to supervise your ministry? May God, who has given you the will to do these things, give you grace to perform them, that the work begun in you may be brought to perfection. To the elders who are standing and facing the bishop, an elder is called to share in the ministry of Christ and of the whole church, to preach and teach the word of God, and faithfully administer the sacraments of holy baptism and holy communion, to lead the people of God in worship and prayer, to lead persons to faith in Jesus Christ, to exercise pastoral supervision, to order the life of the congregation, to counsel the troubled, and declare the forgiveness of sin, to lead the people of God in obedience to Christ's mission in the world, to seek justice, peace, and freedom for all people, and to take a responsible place in the government of the church and in service to the community. These are the duties of an elder. Do you believe that God has called you to life and work of an elder? Will you, for the sake of the church's life and mission, covenant to participate in the order of elders? Will you give yourself to God through the order of elders in order to sustain and to build each up in prayer, study, and worship and service? Let us pray. We praise you, eternal God, because you have called us to be a priestly people, offering to you acceptable worship through Jesus Christ our Lord, apostle and high priest, shepherd and bishop of our souls. Give to these your servants the grace and power they need to serve you in this ministry. Make them faithful pastors, patient teachers, and wise counselors. Enable them to service without reproach, to proclaim the gospel of salvation, to administer the sacraments of the new covenant, and to offer with all your people spiritual sacrifices acceptable to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God, pour upon Ina, Suyapa, Anutinas, the Holy Spirit for the office and work of an elder in Christ's holy church. Amen. Suapa, Antoneus, take authority as an elder to preach the word of God and to administer the holy sacraments. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, pour upon Nancy M. Bender the Holy Spirit for the office and work of an elder in Christ's holy church. Amen. Nancy M. Bender, take authority as an elder to preach the word of God and to administer the holy sacraments in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Almighty God, pour upon Ryan E. Christensen the Holy Spirit for the office and work of an elder in Christ's holy church. Amen. Ryan E. Christensen, take authority as an elder to preach the word of God and to administer the holy sacraments in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Almighty God, call upon Jeffrey Lynn Flagg the Holy Spirit for the office and work of an elder in Christ's holy church. Amen. Jeffrey Lynn Flagg, take authority as an elder to preach the word of God and to administer the holy sacraments, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, pour upon Craig Carl Ferguson the Holy Spirit for the office and work of an elder in Christ's Holy Church. Amen. Carl Ferguson, take authority as an elder to preach the Word of God and to administer the Holy Sacraments in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, call upon Catherine Corey Jane Flanagan, the Holy Spirit, for the office and work of an elder in Christ's Holy Church. Amen. Catherine Corey Jane Flanagan, take authority as an elder to preach the Word of God and to administer the Holy Sacraments in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, pour upon Cynthia Cottrell Hickman, the Holy Spirit, for the office and work of an elder in Christ's Holy Church. Amen. Cynthia Cottrell Hickman, take authority as an elder to preach the Word of God and to administer the Holy Sacrament in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, call upon Corby J. Johnson, the Holy Spirit, for the office and work of an elder in Christ's Holy Church. Amen. Corby J. Johnson, take authority as an elder to preach the Word of God and to administer the Holy Sacraments, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit for the office and work of an elder in Christ's Holy Church. Amen. Andrea, Michelle, Pascala, take authority as an elder to preach the word of God and to administer the holy sacraments in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, call upon Jason Paul Larson, the Holy Spirit, for the office and work of an elder in Christ's Holy Church. Amen. Jason Paul Larson, take authority as an elder to preach the word of God and to administer the holy sacraments. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, call upon Okita Koyi Lembila, the Holy Spirit, for the office and work of an elder in Christ's Holy Church. Amen. Lembula, take authority as an elder to preach the word of God and to administer the holy sacrament. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, call upon Sean Colin Donnelly McLaughlin, the Holy Spirit, for the office and work of an elder in Christ's Holy Church. Amen. Sean Colin Donnelly McRoberts, take authority as an elder to preach the word of God and to administer the Holy Sacrament. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God, pour upon Emmanuel Marigi, the Holy Spirit, for the office and work of an elder in Christ's Holy Church. Amen. take authority as an elder to preach the Word of God and to administer the Holy Sacrament. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, call upon John Edward Ladd, the Holy Spirit of the office and work of an elder in Christ's Holy Church. Amen. John Edward Ladd, take authority as an elder to preach the Word of God and to administer the Holy Sacraments. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, call upon Carol Helen Tippett Sunday, the Holy Spirit for the office and work of an elder in Christ's Holy Church. Amen. Take authority as an elder to preach the Word of God and to administer the Holy Sacrament. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, call upon Andrea Michelle Poland Stevenson, the Holy Spirit for the office and work of an elder in Christ's Holy Church. Amen. Michelle Poland Stevenson, take authority as an elder to preach the Word of God and to administer the Holy Sacrament. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lead and shout. Take authority as an elder to preach the Word of God and to administer the Holy Sacraments. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, call upon Deborah Lynn Coble Wise, the Holy Spirit for the office and work of an elder in Christ's Holy Church. Amen. Deborah Lynn Coble Wise takes authority as an elder to teach the Word of God, to administer the Holy Sacrament. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Conference, I present to you your newly ordained elders. Let us give thanks to God for them.